Hiya. Boy, this looks like I'm going to talk loud. My golly. I'm going to have to stand up here and get my voice to throw that far over all the traffic. I thought it was the other way around.
Mark up the other way. Mark up the duplicate down the other end of the room for time.
Yeah, where's, we got a tape recorder on this? Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's right, I just unmocked him yesterday entirely. Okay. In spite of the fact that we've got a considerable lot of interference, it isn't too hard to talk across it. I want to talk to you about a very important subject, one that you haven't run into for a long time, called the Service Facsimile. The Service Facsimile and its handling by modern auditing. Very technical affair. What was the Service Facsimile? I refer you to Advanced Procedures and Action, Axioms, APNA, published sometime, if I remember rightly, in 1951, late in the year. Published in print, early 52. Service facsimile. What is a facsimile? Facsimile is a mental energy picture. It could contain pain. It could contain unconsciousness. It could contain almost any perception. It could be an engram. It could be a secondary. It could be a lock. By facsimile, it simply means a copy of the physical universe, and therefore is different than a mock-up. What is a mock-up? A mock-up could be a copy of a facsimile, but that's as close as it could get to a facsimile. A mock-up is something created by the preclear or people around him who want to him to have something to look at. There are people who gratuitously give you mock-ups. They slip them to you all the time. There are other people who take yours away. And you say, what happened to my mock-up? I used to have a beautiful fact one here, and it's gone. That make you wince? All right. What's a mock-up? A mock-up is an energy picture created by the preclear without much recourse or consultation with the physical universe or the messed universe. That's a mock-up. Now, what's a facsimile? A facsimile is a photographic reproduction with all perceptions of the physical universe or any universe like the physical universe that you happen to be in. All right. Well, a facsimile, then, must have some use. Yes, it does have some use. And I give you Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health. There is a considerable amount of material in there about the development of an engram, its uses, and so forth. Well, all these things are true of a facsimile. Now, here's Fish comes along. He takes a picture of some yellow sand. And, he's looking at some yellow sand. He takes a picture of it, and just about that time, he gets hit by a bigger fish and gets et. So he goes and gets born again, and now he has a picture. And this picture is a stimulus response mechanism. He sails into an area, and there's some yellow sand there, and he says, goodbye, and goes away. See, if he didn't have the picture of the yellow sand before he was hit, then he wouldn't know the warning symbols. So he becomes obsessed and begins to take pictures 24 hours a day, asleep and awake. So he'll always have the consecutive scene that tells him when he's hurt. And then you see this snips out and fits into the reactive bank, and it tells him what must happen again and what mustn't happen again. That's the use of a facsimile and why they're taken. Now, they're taken all the time. Bang, 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 bang. Right this minute you're sitting there, you're taking a facsimile. If you don't believe it, close your eyes, and you will probably have, unless you're having trouble with your cameras, we do have a camera department that picks these things up. If you close your eyes, you will have, undoubtedly, a picture of me when I stepped up here on the platform. Try it. Got one? Well, all right. Come at the present time. And I want to call something to your attention. You were not aware of taking that picture, were you? Well, you've got it, haven't you? Well, you must have a camera right at this moment faced out in several directions, which is taking pictures all the time. Now, here is what was amusing. In the old time auditor figured out occasionally, you know, I can barely keep ahead of the game if I keep auditing these things. See? Just if I can keep auditing them fast enough, I can just keep it. Why didn't he just put the camera out of commission? Well, I'll tell you why he didn't put the camera out of commission, because it'd be dangerous. He wouldn't have a reactive bank to tell him what not to do. That's why he didn't put the camera out. But you can put one of these cameras out of commission. Just locate it mythically. You know, just as though you said, well, it's over that way, it's slightly to the right, and start sending it hellos and getting okays from it, get hellos from it and send okays to it, and all of a sudden you'll come over here and there'll be a machine over here. And it'll be sitting there with cogwheels and everything else, and you say hello and okay to it, and all of a sudden there's a dull thud, and you don't have any more present time pictures. It's as easy as that to get rid of the consecutive picture taking camera of the pre-clear that gives him these mental image pictures, which we're calling the facsimile. Mock-up's done in another way, usually, except when you've got somebody who's nuts. In other words, very few people do it the right way. So we have a mock-up. All right, we say, Mama will now appear here. And then we unmock it and say, Mama will not now be here any longer. Scram. We say, my favorite dog will now be right there, and now he will jump over the balcony, hit the street, and jump back up again, and be there again, and now I will unmock him. That's a mock-up. Now, mock-ups and facsimiles are made out of the same coal, iron, steel, and diamonds. Some pre-clears mock-ups are made out of lead. They make them out of lead. And you say, it's a good thing for an auditor to say every once in a while, how heavy was that mock-up? Pre-clear. You notice this, he mocks something up, and you say, all right, now mock that Mama over there. Now have Mama move over to this side of you, see? And he... No. Got it. And you say, how heavy was that mock-up? Oh, terribly heavy. Watch this boy. Because he's crossed, his facsimile making machine and his mock-up machine. And when he makes a mock-up, he makes it in total agreement with the physical universe, even to its density and weight. Total agreement. He's agreed too much. And that'll disagree with him sooner or later. It's a cinch it'll disagree with him. Now, there's the other fellow who sets up a machine over here to do mock-ups. And he says, Mama, there it is. Dog, there it is. Dog jumped down on the pavement. Dog jumps up on the roof. He says, oh, well, doesn't matter. It's interesting. It's cute. Now the dog will now jump down on the pavement. And the dog jumps in the car and drives off. What's happened to him? Same thing. Mock-up machinery, facsimile machinery, or cross. All of these pictures he's been taking of the physical universe have been automatic as far as their content was concerned, as far as their action was concerned. You see why they're automatic? You know, they go around, they do... The physical universe does the damnedest things. Take some girl driving a car. Completely unpredictable. So, you start getting pictures, and these pictures are all of unpredictable subjects. Now, your mock-up machine should be totally predictable. And your facsimile machine has total content unpredicted. But the machine itself ought to be predictable. You should be able to say, there should be a switch on your machine. You should be able to say, machine on, machine off, you know? You should be able to say, lights, camera, music, action, machine on. Machine off. Knock off that stuff, you fellows. Now, where do we get... Where do we get this word service? We know what a facsimile is now. It's a picture of the physical universe. By the way, it's taken because the guy starts resisting the physical universe. You understand? Very often people have facsimiles in reverse. The physical universe has started to walk away, so they throw a tractor beam on it, you see, and they pull back on the tractor beam. And then they've got this tractor beam sitting there, this tractor beam picture, and you start to audit it. And you say, all right, now you've got a picture there of your mother leaving you. All right, now let's get the first moment that you pick up the impulse that she's going to leave. That's fine. Stop! See, Mama isn't there holding it out anymore. The picture itself being made of energy, energy just as much energy as this stuff is. There's no difference, by the way, book one to the contrary. There's no difference between mental energy and mental space and physical space and physical energy. That is a little trap that was dug like a tiger pit on the track of anybody who wanted to fall in by the mystic. And we fell in it and dragged ourselves out of it, and we've got ourselves dusted off now. All right. The facsimile came from resistance, but a better phrase, objection to. If you didn't object to anything in the physical universe, you wouldn't ever make a physical picture of it. The machine that takes these pictures all the time is totally tailored on the postulate, I object. Which also says, something can happen to me. I must prevent these things from occurring. I must make these things occur again. Now, you see that? All right. So, let's get back to this service facsimile, since this is not a lecture on pictures. Let's take a look at this service facsimile. We find out, then, that the service facsimile is a set of pictures of the physical universe. And not, as some fellow asked me, of the physical universe as it looked to him when he was a... Buck Private in the last war. It's not why it's called a service facsimile. One of the reasons he thought this is because all the bad facsimiles he had were pictures of second lieutenants and generals. He didn't seem to have any objection to first lieutenants, captains, majors, lieutenant colonels, and colonels. There was a missing gap there. He could associate with these people. But second lieutenants and generals, he said, acted so much alike that they're very hard to tell apart. And then he finally, I guess, mastered the art of noticing that one had more bulk than the other. Anyhow, service facsimile simply means the pattern of facsimiles, which we call a facsimile, used by the individual. To keep from being controlled or to control. technical definition. Service facsimile, a group of pictures, consciously or unconsciously in use by the individual to control others or to keep from being controlled by others. And that's a service facsimile, and that's really almost anything we have to know right up to this point. As far as theory is concerned, here's this fella, and he's had cameras going for a long time here, you know. He's been taking pictures, and finally he's got a few choice ones. Now, here's this picture which tells the fish to get the hell out of that area of yellow sand, see? That's merely a warning facsimile, isn't it? And the one which we normally think about or talk about are these warning facsimiles. We talk about them and think about them because our concentration is so thoroughly upon these warnings that we don't notice that we're doing something with the facsimile. Now, the service facsimile is one that we actually do things with. We actually use it. We use it like a blackjack player uses a deck of cards to trim the suckers. Just as elegantly. Now, that service facsimile, then, has definite use. It's a mental image picture which is used by the individual to control others or to keep from being controlled of others. Now, when I tell you immediately, Grandpa's arthritis made everybody wait on him. Simple. We say immediately, then, well, that was pretty bad. No, it wasn't. Not for Grandpa. He made everybody wait on him. He controlled others with it. We say, Grandpa never worked. Why'd he never work? Well, he had arthritis. Kept him from being controlled by others, didn't it? Looks to me like that was a hell of a successful case of arthritis. Huh? That was a good one. Well, Grandpa will go along and use this case of arthritis in this fashion. We say, well, therefore, he's a dirty dog. Well, now listen, if Grandpa's a dirty dog for using his arthritis, then you're a dirty dog for using a body. You use a body to control others and keep from being controlled by others, don't you? Think it over. Right now, I bet there's some galactic patrol headquarters. Probably been looking for a long time for volunteers to go on various missions. You could take your physical body just as it is, you know, and you can sort of hand it to them, you know, like this. It's like, look, this can't last in a spaceship. Go all to pieces. So that's why I can't volunteer. Actually, this is how far the service facsimile goes. Yet some fellow can't exteriorize. He's presenting this pathetic thing called a human body with its tremendous destructibility to the powers that be. What powers? The between life powers. This explains why he didn't get anything done. A whole life he's got nothing done at all. Why? Had a body. Get the idea? And they say, oh well, he had a body. No wonder he didn't get anything done. Well, that would be sort of to keep from getting controlled by somebody else, wouldn't it? Well, that may sound ridiculous to you and actually belongs over in that wide field called parascientology, but it happens to be a fact. All right. Now, here we have. Then, space, energy, and masses being employed in the game called control of others and no control of self. Space, energy, and masses. Now, the service facsimile is one manifestation of this game. You have a body so that you can talk at somebody so he can hear you or can't hear you. And then he has a body, and so he answers you back. And you talk back and forth, and you say, well, I don't feel good today. And he says, well, neither do I. I have a migraine. You know, I mean, standard Homo sapiens conversation. Middle West, circa about 1880, that was going at the best rate. Since that time, they've all got into apathy. They've stopped talking. Here's our service facsimile in action. Individual hands it. Oh, he hands facsimile after facsimile after facsimile, you see. He hands a large number of untested facsimiles to Papa. Papa's saying, and if you were not a better boy, so forth and so on, So he hands Papa a facsimile to show him why he's not a better boy. Doesn't work. Papa doesn't buy that one. So he hands Papa another one. Papa doesn't buy that one. He hands Papa another one. And Papa doesn't buy that one. And one day he walks in with a runny nose. And Papa says, you poor little boy, you got a cold, haven't you? Oh, he says, look at this precious item. Yeah, here we are. 25 years later, he comes up to you and he says, I have sinusitis. Don't know where I got it. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't know where he got it. But he's sure using it. And under modern auditing, he will hand it to you. And let you throw it away, or he'll throw it away himself. All right. Now, the service facsimile can contain any pattern which can lessen or increase even the control of self by others, or which can lessen or increase the control of others by self. Now, there are people who walk around with a service facsimile of this kind. Now, I have this service facsimile, and that's why I don't control you. Well, I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to give you orders and tell you what you're supposed to do. I dare say you probably run into a captain of a ship or a sergeant or an office manager or something at one time or another in your life who came around with sinusitis, you know, sort of on a basis, and he never told anybody what to do, and everybody was lost all the time, forever. Well, he was just giving them a good reason why he couldn't control them. So it could invert, you see. He could do anything with this because the Thetan can make any quantity of postulates. All right. So what's he do with this service facsimile? He simply presents it to the world as long as it works. Now you're going to run in auditing into this kind of a situation. You're going to say the service facsimile collapses on the individual and becomes effective on him personally when it no longer acts on others, and you will be wrong. He uses it as long as it works. When it no longer works, he throws it away. And every facsimile which an individual presents you with in auditing is an explanation as to why he hasn't controlled others, and why he can't control himself, and why others can't control him. And it's a total explanation all the way along the line of why he's this way. And then you erase them. Unless you let him erase them and get them back, and let him erase them and let him get them back, and let him erase them and let him get them back, he's going to be unhappy. All he wants to do is get a little bit better control of his service facsimile. It slips around the edges occasionally. It doesn't go in smoothly. Now, what would you use then in modern auditing? What would you use to handle this package of facsimiles? This individual goes around through life. His digestion is terrible. Why is his digestion terrible? Well, you could sit there and figure it out if you wanted to, and you'd probably come up with the answer. But there's two reasons why you might not come up with the answer. He might not know about it either. In other words, he just uses this thing on a stimulus-response basis because it works. It contains practically no cognition. It simply works. You get the idea. And so it works, so he uses it. You were to see some fella driving down the street here in a 1914 Buick with all of its tires inflated and its motor putting over. And if you were to know that this fella had in his bank account $500,000, you would be kind of surprised. He went over to him and said, "What are you driving that Buick for? Is it because it's such an old museum piece?" "Oh, no," he says, "no." "Well, why are you driving it?" And he says, "Well, my wife drives better cars and so on." And he might give you a lot of dodging explanations, but the truth of the matter is the Buick works for him. You got it? Total reason. Whatever other monitoring factors may come in on this computation, whatever reasons he must have, it may be that he can't have, you can say as an auditor and demonstrate it, he can't have a better car. It may be by remedying his inability to have a better car and making him able to have a better car, he'll now give up his Buick. See, you might graduate it up that way. You might do it a number of ways. Or you might just handle it in the processes which I'm going to give you in the handling of the service facsimile. Now, let's get off on something else here for an instant. Where do you enter a preclear's case? Well, that's easy. You enter with communication. No. Of course. So what? We use communication on him for 85 consecutive auditing weeks. And he gets so that he's able to move his right index finger a little bit. And we stop auditing him, and he stops being able to use his right index finger. What would you say? You'd say, we audited him for 85 weeks. Well, not according to the standards which we have right as of this moment. We didn't audit him for 85 consecutive weeks. We didn't audit him at all. Why? He didn't get better. Not an easy one? Not easy? Nothing to it. If he didn't get well, we didn't audit him. That sounds very arbitrary, doesn't it? And yet I think by that viewpoint alone, we'll be able to understand this other thing, which is, where do we enter the preclear's case? We enter it at the moment when auditing starts to bite. And where does auditing start to bite? At the level of reality of the preclear, wherever it may be found. And when you have entered the case at the level of reality of the preclear, your auditing bites. And when you fail to enter it at that level, but enter it above his reality, your auditing doesn't even nibble. He says, "Yep, yep, uh-huh, sure. Yep, yep, uh-huh, sure, yes. Yes, I have these dinosaurs out here, and I just marked them all up and pushed them into my body." First week. "Yep, yep, yep." Second one. Third week. "Yep, yes, yes, I'm on the moon." You know, one of these days, one of these low reality preclears is exteriorized and so forth. And he says, "I'm on the back of the moon." You know, "Yes, I'm on the moon." I'm going to say, "Well, then, goddammit, why don't you bring me down my gloves?" Left pair up there. Anyway, where is his level of reality. All right, I'll give you a little case history. ACC student started in an arthritic, doing a beautiful job with this arthritic. As far as auditing was concerned, this ACC student was going through all emotions. And he audited this preacher for I don't know how many hours. 75 hours. And then his instructor, Nibs, got a hold of him and tipped him off.
He says, you know, he says, I don't think anything this preacher has is real.
The student says, it's impossible. I tell him he's 3 feet back of his head. He says, yes, I'm 3 feet back of my hand. It all seems all right to him. He's working all right. Of course, there is something sort of wrong with this case. I haven't been able to put my finger on it. He told us that several times in conferences. So for 6 hours, he just asked this preacher for something real under Nibs' instructions. See? 6 hours, something real, something real. An hour and a half, this guy was going glong, glong. And another hour and a half, he was starting to pick up a little bit. At the end of 6 hours, he had his first reality, and his case started to make some advances. But we had yet to enter the case at the reality level of the preclear, and therefore the case, after that 6 hours of running, continued to hang fire. Why? The auditor promptly took off on processes which were above the reality of the preclear. And the preclear for the ensuing 2 weeks has made, according to my glance, no real progress. That's a hell of a thing. What's this reality level of the preclear? This is an awful thing for me to run in on, because it doesn't have a comparative datum. The reality of A is the reality of A, and he is not comparing it to the reality of B. It's a single datum. Therefore, your preclear can never answer this question, how real is real? But you could answer it for him. You know how real is. Real is as real as he can communicate. Real is as real as he has actual trust, belief, and affinity for his fellow man. That's how real is. So us guys as auditors have two data with which to compare the R on this case. But he doesn't. He knows how unreal real is, because it's always unreal, because it better had be unreal. I can just see this guy now. He's sitting in a hospital bed. Dear little fellow, 7 years of age. His mother and his father come in. He's just had his tonsils out, and he says, I'm sort of dazed, and it's all going round and round, Papa. And for the first time, Papa says, you poor little fellow. Oh, we'll have to do something for you. Here, Mother, get him some ice cream. This is an important individual in the society. What he's got to hand Papa now. Boy, that's diamonds. Diamonds have no value compared to this beautiful, unreal facsimile. He finds out he can handle others this way, too. It's all going black, he says. After a while, he just hands it out so easily that he hands it out to the auditor and he hands it out to himself. He's become his best customer. His service facsimile almost always contains some unreality. Almost always. What about this level of reality of a preclear? John Sanborn said one day in the staff auditor's conference, he says, you know, he says there's something wrong with this preclear. He doesn't talk like this, but I'll pretend he does.
There's something wrong with this preclear, you know.
I'd feel much better if he'd just sort of look around and he'd say, well, what do you know about that? You know, if he'd just say that, just once, about something. And John had been going on with a sort of a coffee grinder sort of a case, you know, on and on and on, week in and week out, and John had become suspicious of this case. If he just, you know, kind of look around and say, well, what do you know about that? You know, what do you know about that? Cognition. When the preclear is getting no cognition, when he's only agreeing with the auditor, he isn't changing. So that means that you will have to tune up your psychic powers and be able to differentiate between a preclear merely agreeing and a preclear cognizing. Because sometimes they cognite like this. And if you're not on the ball, you don't say, hey, hey, what's wrong? What you got now?
Fella says, I don't know.
You say, what you got?
Well, I don't know.
What have you got? What's happened? Just what passed through your mind then? What were you thinking about?
Seems to me, you know, my mother wasn't a bad old girl. She tried.
It's cognition. You see his freak face sitting there, he's saying, he all of a sudden, it's a little bit of an absent look. The only thing the auditor would be able to tell is that the absent look is not now boil off, you know? Wide awake boil-off, sort of, you know, the preclear standard state. And he gets this sort of an abstract look, just a slight difference in the film on his eyes. And the auditor says, hey, he said, what's happened? What's the matter? What you got now? 63-year-old man he's auditing, you know, what you got now? Fella, long com leg, doesn't quite grasp it, can't quite articulate it. Finally says, you know, he says, I don't necessarily have to obey my father. Cognition. Get the idea? Now, there's recognition. But that's cognition done again. And once is enough, so we call it cognition. You could almost forget about Comlag if you would audit toward cognition. But cognition is such a delicate thing to recognize sometimes. But we audit toward Comlag. Cognition includes communication, affinity, and reality in his understanding. All right. So your auditor could audit a process just up to the time where the fellow said, well, what do you know about that? And you say, what? You've been auditing him on the things he wouldn't mind hitting his mother over the head with or something, you know. And is what do you know about that? And you say, what's the matter? And he says, you know, he says, I didn't leave that teddy bear out in the rain. She did. Four-year-old finished thought. You could actually stop having him hit Mama over the head at that moment or whatever you were doing, and you would come off of it safely. So you'd come off of it safely. Don't ask the question two more times. You won't come off of it safely now. You're back into calm lag again. If in doubt, trust calm lag.
But if your preclear all of a sudden says, hey, you know something? And you say, what's the matter? You know, I hardly know how to tell you this, but you won't think I'm crazy. You know, I'm not my body. You just stop running whatever process you're running on him at that moment and run something else. See, that's cognition, running by cognition. Because a cognition tells you you've already reached the end of all the comlags. But if you don't keep nagging the preclear, you'll never find out what is this thing called cognition. Well, cognition follows after a great deal of communication has been indulged in one way or the other to handle the various parts of the preclear's bank. It inevitably follows. Cognition inevitably follows the use of a great deal of communication. But where's the reality level of the preclear? Does he know he's communicating? Now, just remember that when you wind up on a preclear. Does this guy know he's communicating? Because if he doesn't know he's communicating, then he will not get up to a level where he thinks that this is a finished thought. In other words, two-way communication, real two-way communication, will carry him up to a cognition because it's raising his R, it's raising his reality. His reality is over there on this other corner of the triangle, unseen. It's just raising right on up, see? But if he doesn't know he's in communication, you have missed the first cognition which you've got to achieve on a case. I think we did something for a case here a short time ago where the auditor got right in front of her, compulsive outflow, and the auditor got right in front of her and said, good! You know, the person is going on and on and on, and that's what the auditor did. And the woman looked at him and took him in and stopped this compulsive outflow. Probably the first acknowledgement she knows she has received in scores of years. Auditor got right over in front of her and said, got her, trained her on her eyes, you know, got right in here and said, good. This case was audited a fabulous number of hours for the clinic. 50. Not to have come off better than it did, but nearly the whole case was being rolled or was rolling above the level where she knew any communication was occurring. All she was going through was an automatic yap, 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 and the auditor would say, well, give me someplace else you could kick your husband. Yap, 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 yap. Oh, I could kick him almost any place and so forth. It doesn't matter, and it's all over everything, everywhere. Anyhow, yap, 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 yap. 50 hours where God help the auditors, but this was taking place. We got her husband over being affected by that. Now, here then is a fantastic situation of somebody being audited this many hours without anybody being in communication. And that's real bad because it's a waste of time. So about the first thing your preclear ought to have found out for him or find out himself in some fashion or another, not just to agree and say, yes, I'm being audited. Yes, you're there. You know, not that. About the first thing you ought to learn is that he is in the chair, that the auditor is over in this other chair, and that an auditing session has begun and that he is being audited. Necessary cognition. Tells you immediately why psychos don't get well under auditing worth a nickel. They never find out any communications taking place. All right. There's the first cognition we've got to achieve. Now, how far out of cognition is the person's service facsimile at the time we start auditing him? And that's an important thing while I'm talking to you about cognition. How far is it out of cognition? The unconsciousness that he used with malice aforethought on Papa right after his tonsillectomy is still in use. But he doesn't cognite on his use of it. He's still using it. It's still being used and handled in this fashion, but he's not cognizing. And that's where he is. Therefore, you couldn't sail into this case and say, okay, you know that dazed look you got in your face? Yeah, well, what'll that get you out of? So he says, what dazed look? I got a dazed look in my face.
You go home, look in the mirror.
Be upset. The auditors evaluated for him. He says, what do you know? He says, you know, I haven't got a dazed look on my face. That's a saintly expression. Most demure-looking fellow I ever audited, by the way, was looking demure because it was a good poker face, we found out. Never could figure it out, but he did. Well, anyhow, therefore, in any auditing of the service facsimile, cognition on the part of the preclear must occur for anything to happen. So therefore, the degree to which you can steer this is very faint. Now, the preclear may just sit there and agree with you. Yes, this is how I would get out of things. And we have to take up this thing called agreement as different than cognition. Do you know that you could get your preclear in an hypnotic state and say you're a monkey, and he'd say, that's right, I'm a monkey. But it wouldn't be a monkey. You see that? He doesn't have a cognition on the fact he's a monkey. He's accepting your cognition that he's a monkey. Get the difference? This is what we know as crossed universes. It's simply accepting the cognitions or statements, beliefs of others. See, a fellow goes along all through life cognating on mama's cognition, see? He says, you know, it's very bad, these little children going back and forth to school like this. They probably don't get an adequate lunch, you know, walking down the street and so forth. This is a man, you know, and he walks right by a whole bunch of tools that have been laid out, and they're all rusty and so forth, and he says, this is real bad, and somebody ought to sweep that porch off, you know. And look how dirty the windows are in that house, and those curtains. Oh, dear, look at the curtains in that house. All kinds of men's world lying all around him. He never sees it. He sees a woman's world. You can very... These are not cognitions. They won't do the preclear any good. Whose cognitions are they? They're a feminine universe in which he's associated. You get that? So he's accepting the cognitions of another universe. So very often, before cognition can start to work on a preclear, cognition to the level of service facsimile, you have to get universes all split up. In other words, you're liable to have to go through two-way communication, think a thought, you know, problems, solutions, and so forth, and things that they could or could not communicate with, or run in the scale of getting mad. You know, what would happen if you got mad? Run all this up, get up there to a point of the lowest cognition they can get on a universe is, what could you say to your father? See? Something on that order. Split this apart. We get to our preclear, and we say to him, then, the process which I'm going to give you now on service facsimile. And that is done in this fashion. Oh, you can take a pencil, piece of paper to this as an auditor, you see, by keeping your head, but sometimes it makes the preclear feel like you're being much more interested if you write all this down. You say, now this is apparently another process. Than the one you're running. You say to him, all right, now, what do you want, what don't you like about yourself? What don't you find good about yourself. And what do you want? You could put take it this way. What would you like to have changed about yourself? And then ask them as the alternate question right after that. Now, something you want unchanged about yourself, and something you want changed, and something you want unchanged, and something you want changed, and something you want unchanged, and just write them down. See? All very nicely, and get them all squared away. You got his service facsimile right in front of your face. Only it's probably the things he wants unchanged about himself. You got this? We got him up and split a few universes, and he's in communication. He knows he's in communication. The cognition is not too bad. And now we make a list of the things he wants changed about himself, the things he wants unchanged about himself. Now, it doesn't necessarily follow that the service facsimile will be in the unchanged column. It might also be in the changed column. But practically everything he will describe to you in the way of maladies, mannerisms, or anything along this line will be on the service facsimile level. It's fascinating. If you were to keep on with this for an hour or two, you'd have it for sure. You'd have it real good. You'd have it nailed down thought. This, by the way, is itself quite a process and is usable simply as a process. Why? Because it'll change the preclear's position on the time track, because time and change are, for our purposes, the same thing. So you ask him what he wants changed about himself, what he wants unchanged, what he wants changed, what he wants unchanged, what he wants changed, just in that order, not what he wants changed, what he wants changed, what he wants changed. No. It's what he wants changed, what he wants unchanged, what he wants changed, what he wants unchanged. You're gonna move him on the time track. This is a certainty. You keep this up. So it's a good process all by that. But he's liable to come out there and lay service facsimile around. He's liable to keep telling you all the time you ask him, well, now, how do you feel now? And he'll have the service facsimile somewhere in this changed and unchanged list. But he will also have the most prominent part of the service facsimile right here. In this very, very interesting place, he will say, every time you ask him how he feels, he will say one or another part of his service facsimile. And his service facsimile might be, I feel fine. You know, he obsessively feels fine. It's about ready to drop. You know, he has headaches, his eye is hurting, his throat's in terrible condition, his stomach is all snarled up, and he's just about ready to fall on the floor and curl up in a ball, and he says, I feel fine. In other words, he's not in communication on the subject. That's all this tells you. All right, you've got the anatomy of this, and if he had any kind of cognition at all, if he was in pretty good communication by this time, get him out of these and so forth, you change him on the time track considerably with this process, and then you can sock it to him. And the process is, all right, you look, you see up there, and it says, migraine headache. All right, you say, no, that's something he wanted changed, he said. But when he said it, he wanted it changed, it didn't blow. A suspicious circumstance. He was in good shape. All he'd do is have to say, let's see, migraine headache. Well, I don't need that anymore. That's that. Well, thank you. He didn't do that, you know. He says, I'd like these migraine headaches to change. He said, migraine headache. All right, now. That was one of his minor symptoms. Major symptoms was a broken back. Impotence. Whatever else it was. You say, all right, now, what sort of situations would a migraine headache get you into? Oh, yeah. Long list, and you keep saying, okay. And he looks kind of dazed. You say, did you receive that okay? You know, make sure he did. Make sure you kept your two-way communication with him. And he said, well, let's see. It would get me out of having to hunt jaguars. It would get me out of having to... it'd get me out of having to fly bombing planes over Germany. World War II isn't going on. See, I mean,
That's a lot of bunk. You look all around, you don't find anybody running around in uniforms from the special services. Streets are empty. So he says, well, let's see to get me out of, taking polar expeditions. Let's see, I guess it'd get me out of, climbing the Eiffel Tower. Get me out of, getting out, get me out of having to talk to my wife. Oh, what the hell? That's right, though. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's right. That's it. That's what I wouldn't have talked to my wife. I have my great, you know? I have these goddamn things. In other words, he just walked in with a pneumatic drill into his cognitions bank. Well, he's liable to go on for a long time on this order until you get a comwag, flat, or a cognition. It's liable to take him a lot longer than that. But quite ordinarily doesn't. This is a fairly fast process after you've slugged at it and you've got the whole list, see? All right, now he thinks he's all through with it. See? And you say, well, how do you feel about my great headache now? And he says, I feel wonderful. Feel wonderful. Right, feel wonderful. Sure, get me out of talking to my wife. He thinks he's all through with it. All right, what would a migraine headache get you into? What would a migraine headache get you into? Nothing.
Pain?
Nothing. Nothing. No, that's all blank. You're on the wrong lead there. You're dead wrong on that. Wouldn't get me into anything. All right, if you insist, well... What would it get me into? It'd get me into a lot of pain. I suppose it'd get me into my prenatal bank. I suppose it'd get me into being audited by you. Well? Won't get me into anything. What are you talking about? You're off on the wrong track. This is all crazy. Not, well, just one little thing it might get you into. Or get me into debt, paying doctor bills on it. Like my father always was. Well, what are you getting me into? Nothing! Oh, now, wait a minute. Oh, now, wait a minute. Oh. It sure gets me into the sympathetic good graces of an awful lot of women. Yeah. It does. Hey, what the hell? He all of a sudden is exposed to view something he ordinarily would use. Just why is he using it this way? He's using it this way because he's using it that way. That's why he's using it that way. And if you as an auditor go further into an inquiry, you are going to go down, down, down in a bathysphere and find nothing but dark ocean very far below. Because the rationale is, how does it permit me to control? Or how does it excuse my failing to control? Or how does it permit me to avoid the control of others? Or how does it permit me to accept the control of others? And that's what it is. And he's had a migraine headache there, put him in control of an awful lot of women. You know, he'd say, oh, my God, my head aches, you know. Let me put my hand on it there, you know, grab his forehead. Well, that can lead a lot of places. All right, but that's a sensible part of his service facsimile. Then you say, well, now we've completely dispensed with his service facsimile. Look, you wrote for 2 hours and 22 minutes and a half on things he wanted changed and didn't want changed. And every one of them in some fashion or another is related to his service facsimile, and you have to handle every damn one of them in just that fashion. What'll get you out of, what'll get you into? And ask and ask and ask until he looks at it. Because the process itself would move him on the track, but it wouldn't cause him to abandon his control pattern of the facsimile itself. You follow me? Simple, huh? What could be part of the service facsimile? Anything anybody has ever presented you in auditing which has any resistiveness at all. If you want to know the central service facsimile, not its fringes and outlying parts, just get this individual who can do mock-ups to, in creative processing, handle his headache. See? Well, mark yourself up with a headache. All right, pull it into your body. Mark yourself over the headache. Pull it into your body. Mark yourself over the headache. Pull it into your body. Mark yourself over the headache. Pull it into your body. How's your headache? And he says, it's fine. Very, very far out. Probably something he ate. Probably isn't used. It's just nothing. Same pre-clear. Same level. Headache is part of his service facsimile. All right, creative processing. Now mark yourself up with headache. I had a lot of trouble getting that. Pretty hard. Well, all right. Now pull it in. Oh, I don't know. It kind of slips off. All right. You keep this up for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 12, 20, 50, 280 hours, and he'd still have his headache. Why? He wants it to use and fight with another day. It just says the central pin of his service facsimile. It doesn't clean up on a completely non-directly process, non-significant process. And you see what the comparison is? We're talking about the service facsimile. We're talking about the resistive chronic somatic that has baffled us for 5 years in some pre-clears. Because it just hangs on and on and on. The way to get it, give me some things you want changed. Give me some things you don't want changed. Give me some things you want changed. Give me some things you don't want changed. And after you've got that nicely sorted out, now slip him across this. You see, that's a separate process all by itself. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the service facsimile, but it gives you a beautiful list. You just start in on that list. Now, give me some things to get you into. Give me some things to get you out. Get you into things that get you out. Of course, that's a repetitive question. Things that it get you into, some more 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 things that it get you into. And if that sticks someplace, you have been unfortunate in your selection off that list. You try to pull the roof off before you blew up the foundation. So ordinarily, when I'm using this process, I don't depend, this process, we don't depend on length of time in auditing. You get this? See, I wouldn't use this for 2 hours, you know? Well, give me some more things that your headache could get you into, some more things get your headache into. I said, well, give me some things to get your headache into. If he hasn't answered the question with full cognition in 3 minutes, I skip it and say, we'll come back to that one again. Give me some things that get you out of. Things that get you out of. Oh, yeah, he finally gets some things that get him out of. Now give me some things to get you into. Bang, bang. Now you know how to handle this service facsimile? You know what it is? This is the case that hangs fire. When that case starts to hang fire, you can turn them wrong side out with this type of process. Now, if you use it incorrectly, get your own audit. Thank you very much.